This is Wealth Made Simple with Matthew Klein from Copley Financial Group. You need a financial strategy that counts for challenges like market volatility and inflation, and that also adequately prepares you for retirement. The purpose of Wealth Made Simple is to address common financial concerns, provide helpful strategies, and offer ways you may be able to achieve your financial goals. And now here's Wealth Made Simple.
Hello and welcome to the Wealth Made Simple podcast. I'm your host, as always, Matt Klein with Copley Financial Group. If you have any questions about what you hear on today's show, please reach out at 888-WEALTH-9 or visit the podcast website at wealthmadesimplepodcast.com or check out Copley Financial Group at copleyfinancial.com. Today, I want to talk about the debt ceiling. A lot of clients have been asking me what type of effect this will have on their retirement and portfolio. So we're going to do a deep dive and figure out what we should be thinking about when this topic comes up. So for a little bit of context, we are 9 days away from the airing of this show, which from June 1st, which is when they say the national debt will default if President Biden and McCarthy don't strike a deal to increase the $31.4 trillion debt ceiling. And they need to strike a deal, get it written up as a bill, pass through the House and the Senate. And well, what's going to happen if this doesn't occur? Obviously, markets are probably going to take a huge markets are probably going to tank in a huge way. Social Security and military benefits could take weeks for people to get. So we're going to dive deep into this possibly huge problem with the economy. But first, as always, my co-host, Tony Shore.
Hey, Matt. Great to be here with you. Thanks for having me on the show today. I really appreciate it. And wow, you're tackling a big issue on the show today. I'm impressed. The debt ceiling. And yeah, even Janet Yellen came out the other day and said, hey, they've got to figure this thing out. And it would be serious if we defaulted. But can you hit me with that number again? It was like it's in the trillions that the debt ceiling current limit is.
Sure. 31.4. And they would need to strike a deal to raise that now, even higher.
31.4 trillion.
Correct.
Dollars.
Yes.
Now, Matt, I mean, between you, you could cover that, right? You could help them out. I mean, just you could probably just go down to the ATM and help our government. I mean, you've got that kind of cash on hand, probably, don't you?
I do. But you know what? You know what they say? If you, you bail someone out, they'll just do it again. So they're going to have to resolve this one on their own.
Yeah, you could solve our whole national debt crisis if you wanted to. You've got that kind of money. I mean, no, seriously, that's real money, even to you and I.
it's a big number. Yeah.
Yeah. When you get trillion, people just lose. I mean, it loses its impact after a while. These numbers the government throws around, right? The government debt and government spending and the national debt, you know, you go to whatever that is, nationaldebtclock.org, that website or whatever it is where you can see it ticking by. And it's just the numbers are just flying.
Yeah,
it's hard to even grasp how big this number has gotten. Right. I mean, it's not even realistic anymore.
Yeah, I agree. There's really no perspective on it at this point. We actually have it in Manhattan. If you drive by it quite often, where you see that the national debt just increasing rapidly, like you said.
Yep.
It's almost like a fictitious number because we print our own money, right? So, you know, who do we owe that to? We owe it to ourselves in a way. But, you know, to give some context, since 1960, we've raised the debt ceiling 90 times.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, in my opinion, this whole thing is absolutely ridiculous.
I would agree.
Yeah. If this was to actually happen where we default and we breach the debt ceiling, I think it would be catastrophic. The federal government, America, has never defaulted on a financial obligation. And why should you when you print your own money, right? So, you know, the impact on this on the markets, jobs, GDP, you know, gross domestic product, a recession, all of these things are going to come into play from this. But worse of all, you're going to negatively impact the reputation, the actual rating of the debt that we issue as a country, right? Mm-hmm. Moody's, S&P, you know, these are the companies that rate the debt. they're going to downgrade us if we go into this in breach. I can't see it happening by any means whatsoever.
Yeah, right? They say, and Janet Yellen and experts say what it would do. I've read that economists out there are saying, many of them, that if America defaulted, it would devalue American currency to the point we'd be downgraded, and then we would no longer be used as the standard currency with oil and across the globe. Right now, the American dollar is the standard currency for a lot of the trading, a lot of things that happen. America is like the gold standard, so to speak, our currency, the U.S. dollar. And that would take a blow, and that would really affect global economics, and especially, yep, obviously, our country. But it would be a problem for America as a country, which is why I personally don't think they're going to let it happen. But there's been so much posturing. It's never quite gone this far. They've taken it further than they ever have before. Sure. And each side has dug in harder than before. And, you know, on one side, you have to say, and it's hard to disagree with someone who says we need to cut government spending. We're not going to raise, sure, the debt ceiling unless we also agree to cut spending. I agree. Well, they should cut spending. The problem is where to cut spending. And that's where I think, you know, and that's where on the other side, you know, the Republicans are saying you got to cut spending. You got to respect them for saying that, if, you know, let's cut spending. But the Democrats say, yeah, but you want to cut social programs or cut this, mm-hmm, program, which we fought so hard for. So and I'm not trying to take political sides here, but it is an issue. And it, these people are, I think, on both sides, they're being idiots, if I can use a harsh word. I mean, our government right now, I just can't. They need to figure things out. And I'm not really impressed with either side. You know, I'm not impressed, agreed, with the Biden administration or McCarthy in Congress. And that's your two sides in this. And I'm like reading what they're saying. I'm like, you guys are, you know, mm-hmm, can we get two sane people in there maybe to figure this out?
I completely agree with that, Tony. It's disgraceful on both sides, without a doubt. Yeah. I think yesterday they were quoted as saying, it's productive, but not progress. I mean, what does that mean?
Yeah, what does that even mean? That's a classical political statement from our government. Yeah.
It's just, it's absolutely ridiculous. The thing is, I agree that there needs to be talks and change in terms of how we do things and how spending's done. But this is not something that should even be up for discussion as a possibility. It's so catastrophic. No. It would have such far-stemming negative effects on not just our country, but the world. Like you said, you know, the U.S. dollar is the world currency. And that could come into jeopardy should we breach, even for a short amount of time. Yep. And another big thing is, if we breach, interest rates could end up staying high indefinitely. Because now what's happened is, as an investor, you're looking at this and saying, well, default is actually a possibility when it never was before. And for that, you're going to have to be higher compensated to invest in that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's just so many aspects of this that it's just bad for everyone in such a big way. Now, why has this been going on then, right? So what causes them to take this further and kind of put on this dog and pony
That's
show?
That's my question.
Right. Well, there's no political incentive for either side to deal early, right? As long as they make the deadline. And actually, everyone's been talking about a June 1st deadline. Moody's is actually saying that it's closer to June 8th. So I think both sides realize they have a little bit more time than the general public thinks. So there's no political incentive for anybody to deal early. And there's no political incentive for default. Right. So it kind of makes it very easy for them to put on this show and then get it together at the last minute, which we've seen them do politically all the time. I think that I can't say the odds are zero, but I put them at really better than 1 in 1,000.
Yeah. But it makes me angry because what you're saying is they're playing chicken. Mm-hmm. With the American economy and the future of our country. Mm-hmm. They're headed down a one-way highway. Who's going to move first? right? Yep. Who's going to jerk the wheel to one side or the other before the other? They're playing a game of chicken, yep, and they just keep increasing speed. They're going 200 miles an hour straight at each other. Who's going to swerve first? Yep. And they want to take it down to the wire, but they're playing chicken with us, the people. They're putting us in jeopardy. They're, yep, putting the American public and our economy at jeopardy. And I don't think that should be allowed. I think there should be a law that keeps this from happening every time this comes up. And I don't think they should be able to attach other things to it. And I know both sides wouldn't like that idea. But that's just my take. I'm no expert on this. You know more about the financial aspect. So I am happy to hear your take. And I'm glad we're talking about this because it is interesting. But is my analogy correct? Are they kind of playing a game of chicken right now, seeing who, if anybody will blink, who blinks first, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And not only are they playing chicken, but with, I think, both sides realize that they have absolutely no ability to follow through, that they are going to have to come to.
It seems that way.
It is just so far-fetched that they could let this happen, and really just tarnish the American dollar and the credibility of the government financially. It just can't happen. You know, one, I've heard something really interesting been brought up, though. A lot of talk, I don't know if you've heard about invoking this obscure
Fourth Amendment.
Yeah, Section 4 of the 14th Amendment of the Constitution.
14,
yeah. And the way it reads is validity of public debt shall not be questioned. Right. And, you know, the question is, can the president use this to go ahead and raise the debt ceiling without going through the proper channels like they're doing right now? And actually, I believe that there was talks about this once. We obviously didn't get this far into it in the Obama administration, but they were kind of having these talks, and the Department of Justice said, no, he probably couldn't do that. If it was to come down to that, and he did do it, obviously, I'm curious. I don't think anybody knows what the markets, especially the bond markets, the T-bills markets, would do if he did that while we wait for the Supreme Court to rule on it. But if it did go through, that would end this permanently. That would be a permanent fix to everything, because now the president can always just go ahead and invoke that, raise the debt ceiling. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. I do not think that we get there. I don't think anybody's going to risk, you know, what the ramifications would be. But yeah, it's an interesting concept that
it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's interesting. I'm glad to hear you talk about that. Yeah, I can't imagine the Supreme Court. I mean, I can see him doing it, invoking that and raising the debt ceiling. But then the Supreme Court going, hey, especially the current court saying, hey, we don't like it, because it's Biden versus the Supreme Court.
Right.
They seem to be not all on his side. So I think that they would overturn that and say, you can't do that.
It does seem like it might set a bad precedent in terms of using obscure things to, you know, a little too much power for the president. If you start letting him do things like that, I'm sure he's going to try if they don't come to an agreement. I can't imagine. And we always kind of see this play out. It does feel a little bit different this time.
It really does. And I think they're taking it a little further than they have in the past.
Yeah, agreed. I also realize that it kind of always feels different, right? If you think about kind of my experience being with the markets, you remember back in 2001, you know, we had these ridiculous evaluations on all these tech companies. Some of them didn't even have earnings. Oh, well, it's different this time. It's not a bubble because the internet was invented. And then we've seen the market crash, right?
Yeah.
And just recently, oh, it's different. Interest rates are on zero. You know, we can go on indefinitely like this. And then eventually rates had to go up and the market crashed. So, you know, it always seems to feel different in the moment. And it always seems like, you know, this is... you know, we're facing imminent abyss, but I really think that the whole thing is manufactured in the press. It's a good story that they're playing out as a drama. Everyone's looking for their 15 minutes, and that without a doubt, we're going to get it together right at the wire. I don't think they'll do it any sooner than they have to, because nobody has an incentive to. And, you know, and one thing that really supports.
That's a good take, I think.
Yeah. I think
sounds about right.
Right. And we've seen that play out before. And one thing that really supports our opinion of this is look at what the markets are saying. They're really unaffected. The short-term 3-month T-bills had a little bit of a dip, a sell-off, but not much. Long-term T-bills have been unaffected by these talks. Stock market, equities, unaffected. So savvy investors are thinking like we are. They're not buying into this. They understand it for what it is. But nonetheless, I think a lot of people are worried about it. And I don't think they have to be. I think that it's such a ridiculously over analyzed, for lack of a better term, catastrophic result for both sides, for everyone. It benefits nobody. There's no way they're going to let it happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Although with our current political climate, never say never. There's always somebody, but I know in all seriousness, I'm really half joking mostly joking. I agree with you though. They're not going to let this happen, but they are trying to push it a little bit further. Mm-hmm. They're being a little more stubborn about it on each side.
Agreed.
And they're letting it go down to the wire. Like you say, I have a feeling you're right. We'll see. Nobody has a crystal ball.
True.
You know, you're not saying this is the way it's going to be, but this is, you know, looking at it, it really does seem like, you know, they're not going to allow that to happen. It's a lose, you know, if they let it happen, both sides lose. We all lose.
So we all lose.
Why would they do that?
Right. We all lose. And in such a big fashion, too. I mean, so many aspects affected and there's no coming back from it. Right. Breaching would have a temporary negative effect on the economy. But even once that recovers, which it always does, you're never going to see people look at these debt instruments or the U.S. dollar or creditworthiness as a country the same ever again.
Nope.
That stain cannot go away. And for that reason,
because people will know it can happen.
Exactly.
And once that you let that genie out of the bottle, it doesn't go back in. You can't wipe everyone's memory. It's not like, what was that? The Matrix or what show did they hold the thing up and they wiped their memory?
Oh, Men in Black.
Men in Black. Yeah, yes. Yeah. Men in Black. I'm sorry. Men in Black. Yeah. Yeah. And that's not a real thing. And they can't do that on a, even if it was, they can't do it on a global scale. So, they can't make us forget about what happened. And so you're right. They can't put that cat back in the bag once it's out or that genie back in the bottle. Well, this is a great discussion. We got to keep our eyes on this. And then, you know, in a couple of shows from now, in a couple of weeks, we'll come back and talk about what did happen.
Yep.
Versus what we thought would happen. Sure. And we'll do a recap for our listeners out there and we'll see where we're at. And I'll be interested.
Look forward. To
get your, I can't wait to get your take on how it all goes down. Yep. So this is an interesting thing, though. People are interested in it. I know the media is overhyping it. You know, the media always loves any story where they can say the sky is falling.
Negative news is great news for them.
Yeah. But we all know it's just like there are certain things that are a given, you know, death, taxes, and pizza in my life. Anyway, in my life, I've found those three things are for sure. Those three things are for sure. And this is one thing else. We raise the debt ceiling. We do it.
Yeah.
So that's just something we do. All right. Well, Matt, before we go, I know that aside from talking about the debt ceiling and where the economy and markets will head based on that, right now, you're right. They aren't being affected that much by this or bonds. So our listeners out there need a solid financial plan, though, mm-hmm. for when things do go up and down. You mentioned 2001, 2008, 2022, those three times, or 2020, 2021, where, you know, we've had market upheaval a bit, but the up, you don't want to miss that upside either. You want to have a solid plan. You want to make sure you have some money and safety and the right well-managed risk and not too much in one basket. How can our listeners get that solid plan in place? I know you're offering a complimentary, no cost, no obligation consultation to look at people where they're at with their 401ks, their IRAs, things like that, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. We offer, you know, what we would call a second opinion, right? Come find out, you know, you don't know what you don't know until you take a look. So if you're, you know, approaching retirement, I would say even within 10 years, it's time to sit down and make sure that you're on the right path, you know, fix whatever, you know, even if it's small things within the portfolio, correct the ship and get going down that, you know, get where you're going correctly. Yeah. So we offer a complimentary retirement plan, help people, you know, prepare properly, reducing taxes, estate planning, you know, all part of it. They can reach us at 888-WEALTH-9 or CopleyFinancial.com.
888-WEALTH and the number 9.
You got it.
Or CopleyFinancial.com.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Matt. And listeners, thanks for tuning in. That does it for this week's episode of Wealth Made Simple with our host, Matt Klein.
Take care. Thanks, Tony.
Yep. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you for joining us for Wealth Made Simple. Don't head into retirement without a strategy that addresses both income and taxes. For more information, please contact Matthew Klein at Copley Financial Group at 888-932-5849 or visit wealthmadesimple.org now. Join us again soon for another episode of Wealth Made Simple. All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation.